Gentlemen, start your engines.
Tune up your motorsports knowledge. Power Up Motorsports Channel.
No, he didn't slam you. He didn't bump you. He didn't nudge you. He rubbed you. And rubbing, son, is racing.
Gentlemen, start your engines.
This is Pit Pass USA, the fastest auto racing location on the internet, with the latest news, the best interviews, and our own brand of commentary. Here's your host, Larry Henry.
Hi, everyone. Welcome again to Pit Pass USA. Glad to have you on board, and we've got a very, very busy show. Of course, we've got a lot to talk about. NASCAR, we are down to the top 12, the chase for the championship getting underway this weekend in New England. We've got Petit Le Mans coming up around the corner. We're going to go all the way across the pond and talk to Alec McNish, who is driving for the Audi team that's going to be running at the Petit Le Mans down at Road Atlanta. We're also going to do a little USAC talk. Levi Jones from Tony Stewart Racing is going to drop by, and we'll do a little ARCA Remax talk, too, as Rob Brent, who is driving for Justin Allgaier Motorsports and has driven in the past for Brad Keselowski, is going to join us. But, of course, the big story, it's all about NASCAR. 26 races down, 10 to go of the NASCAR Sprint Cup season. Of course, those final 10, the most important because that is the chase for the championship. The top 12 determined following the race on Saturday night at Richmond International Raceway, and someone that's watched it all unfold and will the next 10 races. Joining me now from FoxSports.com, their NASCAR writer, Lee Spencer. And Lee, welcome. And tell you what, it's been wild to this point of the season. I can only imagine what the next 10 races are going to be like.
Well, I want to see if somebody just sprints out early, collects a couple of wins, and then everybody ends up chasing that guy. I don't know who that guy might be. It could be Denny Hamlin. My goodness, he's been hot lately. Greg Biffle told his crew, get me in there and I'll win you the first three races. And his pit crew has been spot on, you know, perhaps throughout the entire season. So I talked to Steve Letard earlier this morning, and he was basically saying that he will wait. He's not going to tell me who his best competition is because he wants to wait till race four or five and then see what happens. And he thinks by then that the chase picture should be fairly clear as to who your competition is.
Well, you mentioned about jumping out and getting a couple of wins right off the start. Greg Biffle did that last year and finished third in the third race at Kansas. And he wasn't there at the very end of this whole thing. So you can win early, but it's still a 10-race event.
Right, it's almost like a 10. It's like a 10K. You know, it's a marathon, and you really have to do it well. And it's, Steve Letard said for Gordon, he's looking at an average 5 finish. He knows that wasn't strong enough the last time that they did that, but he really thinks that that's kind of what you have to shoot for. And you know, we saw that Saturday night. The guys that were the contenders, I mean, Sam Hornish was sprinkled in there, Harvick was sprinkled in there, but it was your regular cast of characters. If you were meant to be in the chase, you were up there running. And, you know, at that point it was a little bit too late for Kyle Busch, but, generally it's just the same cast of characters up there running in the top 10, top 15. And, then there were people that were just trying to stay safe, stay within that position that they were given where, hey, you know, here's your mark, meet your mark, you're going to be in the chase. And I guess they'll turn it on once things start, but I think it's going to be very interesting to watch.
Lee, when I look at this chase this year, I can't really pick out a favorite. Jimmy Johnson was hot for a while. Tony Stewart was hot for a while. Mark Martin's been hot for a while. I look at the 12 that are in there, and the two that stand out to me are Denny Hamlin, you mentioned him, and Brian Vickers, who's been really, really strong. Those two seem to be the hottest and most consistent lately.
Well, and that's just it. Right now, they're on a streak. And, you know, Letard said the same thing that you did. He goes, if I'd have raced Brian Vickers over 36 races, I know we can beat him. But the way he's been running lately, if I'd have raced him over these last 10, then, you know, I'm not so sure. And it's just they're all going to be looking at strategy. They're all going to be looking at numbers. At the end of the day, I think it's going to come down to equipment, and you have to look at Hendrick and think that they have the best equipment going. Now, could Kurt Busch have something to prove with Pat Tryson wanting to get the hell out of there? I mean, very possibly. He's going to have to keep his head on his shoulders. And, you know, Kurt has a tendency to put on a very nice facade when he's out of the car, and when he's in the car, it's just like, you know, this demon takes over. But one thing we saw that was a turning point for Kurt was at Bristol. He started to lose it. They were falling back. Things were happening. And then he just gathered up, turned into a cheerleader behind the wheel, which is something you seldom hear from Kurt. You know, usually it's everybody else's fault but the driver. But he really showed a flash of maturity that we hadn't seen before. And, I think that in a lot of cases, that could have been the turning point for that team this year.
I'm talking with Lee Spencer of FoxSports.com, their NASCAR columnist, and talking about, of course, the chase to the championship getting away this upcoming weekend in New Hampshire. And Lee, can you pick one person out of this field of 12? We've talked about Denny Hamlin, Brian Vickers. Hard to, you know, knock Jimmy Johnson out, but they've had some uncharacteristic mistakes along the way. I mean, Chad Knaus has made some bad calls. I mean, there's just been strange things that have happened to them that never happened to them. Jeff Gordon's been right around there all season long, but you think someone is really going to take the reins of this thing and go, or is it going to be for the first time really coming down to Homestead?
Oh, boy. I think where Talladega is right now in the 10 races, that they've moved it, you know, later into the chase, that could be the game changer. I think it's race 8 now, and you have Phoenix and Homestead after that. So if that is indeed the case, and, you know, everything gets shuffled at that race, that will be the deal breaker for a lot of teams. I'll be interested to see what Juan Pablo Montoya does over the last 10 races, because he admits he's been points racing. He's been trying to average a 10th to 12th place finish, just trying to get by. And, you know, he was in a really strange mood after that race. It was, you know, he said he didn't quite know what he felt. And it was strange, because usually he's very, very talkative. And even between practices on Friday, he was sitting out on the stoop in his transporter. And usually he's a lot more reclusive than that. So that was kind of strange. You know, it was just unusual, but I want to see if he just turns up the wick and goes for it, or, you know, if he gets in and goes through the first couple of races the way he's gone through the last 10, just kind of stroking it and adding up the points, and, then just breaks loose at the end. He's kind of the one that I'm just watching that is like a wild card in there.
Yeah, you're absolutely right. I forgot about Juan, and you say he's reclusive, and I knew him back in his early days when he first came into kart, and I didn't seem reclusive at all, because we were always, you know, joking around and things like that. But he may be one of the best drivers I ever saw with car control, and he can really hang it out at times. And I just think now the pressure is off. He's in it. He's in to win it. And I think he's going to go like gangbusters. I think he's going to revert back to that guy that took no prisoners when I saw him in kart and when he was in Formula One. It's going to be, we're going all out here.
Well, and, you know, that's the one I want to see. And by reclusive, you know, sometimes he just, and I'm sure that this was more the Formula One Juan rather than the kart Juan, because I heard the same stories. When he was in kart, you know, he was everybody's buddy, you know, and he was around, he was available. But, you know, you go to F1, it's a completely different environment over there, and I think it kind of changes you. And, you know, he's very friendly, don't get me wrong, I didn't mean it like that, you know, but he just, you know, when he's done, he's done, you know.
Yeah, absolutely.
But when he wants to turn up the wick, I mean, we saw what he did at Indy, and, had NASCAR not just kiboshed his opportunity to win that race. I mean, you know, I still have problems with that call, but, he should have been your Indy 500, or your Brickyard 400 winner. Well, if that's the case, how many Brickyard 400 winners have gone on to be the champion?
Absolutely. A couple of questions. One, Kyle Busch not making the chase. Now, does he become... I don't care if I wreck the car every week. Well, or I don't care if I wreck the car, but I'm just going for wins. I don't care about anything else.
I think he wants to be the guy that goes out there and wins 10 races and didn't win the championship. And if NASCAR allows him to do that, I think it'll be really, really interesting to watch, because that would, that would be a phenomenal thing if he could pull that. He certainly has the talent to do that. He's in a contract year. I don't think that phases him at all. You know, I talked to JD on Saturday, and JD said he'd like to get his deal signed as soon as possible. I don't know if Kyle's in a rush, but, you know, heck, where would be a better place for him right now than Joe Gibbs Racing, because he's not going to go back to Hendrick. And, you know, as far as I'm concerned, his former Hendrick teammates, you know, were blocking for Vickers the other night. That's kind of what I saw on the racetrack. And so I think he's in the best position he could be in right now. And I think that, you know, he very easily could go into the next 10 races and just, you know, win 6 of them and say, see, you know, you guys have failed. But I think that you don't go and change the format for the chase. You don't change the entry rules. Everybody knew what they were getting in, and for all intent and purpose, they work.
Yeah, they do. They seem to. But I just think it's going to be interesting. One, with him on the outside, he's got nothing to lose. I mean, the best he can do is 13th in points. Doesn't matter to him. He doesn't care about it. He cares about wins. He likes to stick it in people's faces. Unfortunately, he hasn't had the car, which is really strange. And I'm not exactly sure whether it's Steyer's cars, what's going on here, that suddenly people have it and suddenly they don't have it in this sport. But that's kind of the way it goes now.
It's just that competitive. Yeah. That if you're not worrying about fixing your car for the next week and improving your setup that you had the last time you were there, you can't take the last race's equipment to the next race because you're going to get beat. And, you know, you constantly have to, it's so fluid, you have to be moving ahead. Another driver that's getting hot right now is Kevin Harvick. I mean, you've seen how he's run the last two races. Maybe he's put all the trauma behind him with, you know, Richard Childerson has decided he needs to come out now, too. I think those two drivers over the next 10 races could be the spoilers in a lot of events because I don't think they're giving up. I don't think Kenseth has the equipment to do it. But, you know, I think Kyle and Harvick are going to be, they're going to be fun to watch.
Well, it sounds like we've got all the guys that are in the chase, some guys on the outside, some guys that are looking for seat time next year, looking for a place to land. It's going to be fun the next 10 races.
Well, it is, and we look at the guys that are out of the chase. I mean, you have a really interesting, you know, I'd say from Kevin Harvick, and even if you want to go 25th place, Martin Truex, you got, you know, Truex, Allmendinger, McMurray, Harvick, Earnhardt, Mears, Logano, Burton, Ambrose, Rudiman, Boyer, Matt Kenseth, and Kyle Busch. They all want to make a name for themselves because you know how it's been the, you know, these first, what, 5 years of the chase. What we've watched is, or four, I guess four or five, whatever, but it's what we've seen is a guy can win, and if he's not in the chase, he gets no publicity. And these guys know that the only thing that they can do to get publicity for their sponsor is win a race, and they're going to be hell-bent on doing it.
Yeah, it's going to be great. Hey, Lee, thanks much, and have fun up in New England this weekend.
We will do our best.
That is Lee Spencer, FoxSports.com. Read her articles on NASCAR there. She is one of the best in, like she said, it's going to be wild starting in New Hampshire this weekend. Next up, we're going to turn our attention to the American Le Mans Series. Petit Le Mans coming up at the end of the month. We'll talk to the guy who's bringing the Audis back to the United States to run. That's Alan McNish. Will we continue here on Pit Pass USA with Larry Henry on the Power Up Motorsports Channel. Power Up, your motorsports channel. See it, read it, feel it.
Amber Alert, abducted child, African-American girl, 6 years old. Suspect, Caucasian male, 30 to 35, 6 feet, 180 pounds, wearing blue shirt, black jeans.
Now when an Amber Alert is issued.
White van, out-of-state license, X-ray 687 Charlie.
You can get the same information the authorities get right on your cell phone. Sign up for free at wirelessamberalerts.org. When an Amber Alert is issued in the areas you've chosen, you'll receive a free text message. If you spot the vehicle, the suspect, or the child described in the alert, call 911. Sign up today at wirelessamberalerts.org. Think of it. Something as simple as a free text message could free an abducted child.
All units, Amber Alert canceled. Child recovered safely. Suspect is in custody. Repeat, Amber Alert canceled.
WirelessAmberAlerts.org. A child is calling for help. This message brought to you by the Wireless Foundation, the U.S. Department of Justice, the National Center for Missing and Exploited Children, and the Ad Council.
Do you feel the need for speed? Whatever your addiction, NASCAR, IndyCar, NHRA, Formula One, Grand Am, or even lawnmower racing, Pit Pass USA has got you covered. Larry Henry here, the host of Pit Pass USA. I put my 30-plus years of being a motorsports broadcaster around the world to work each week to bring you not only the best guests, but also the most interesting guests in racing, while also never forgetting the local weekend warrior. Pit Pass USA with Larry Henry, your front row seat to the world of racing. Tuesdays at 8 p.m. Eastern, 5 p.m. Pacific on the Power Up Channel. Be there or get a DNF.
I am stuffed.
After that meal, I have got to pass gas.
Powder room's right there.
No! Daddy's gas can kill us all!
That's right. Toxic clouds like the one I'm about to unleash could make everyone deathly ill. Be right back.
Secondhand smoke contains hydrogen cyanide and other deadly gases.
What a guy.
Oh, he is a keeper.
Don't pass gas. Take it outside. Get the facts at don'tpassgas.org. A message from the Ad Council and the American Legacy Foundation.
Get ready for a show that breaks ground on the subject of women in motorsports and what it takes to dream, believe, achieve. Gas and Go with Allie O is all about the movement that is happening lightning fast in women's racing. You'll get a wide array of perspectives from the drivers to the fans, as well as what it takes to be a role model in a male-dominated sport. Join your host, professional driver Allie Owens, for Gas and Go with Allie O. Wednesdays at 8 p.m. Eastern Time, 5 p.m. Pacific, on the Power Up Motorsports Channel.
Want to join our pit crew? Are you a motorsports expert? Jump into the driver's seat and get your voice heard. To learn more about our broadcasting opportunities, contact us at 480-294-6417. That's 480-294-6417. Or email us at info@voiceamericanetwork.com. That's info@voiceamericanetwork.com. See it, breathe it, feel it.
You're listening to Pit Pass USA with Larry Henry. To leave comments or suggest future guests for the show, email us at larryhenry@pitpassusa.com. That's larryhenry@pitpassusa.com. Now, back to more of the fastest show in motorsports, Pit Pass USA, with Larry Henry.
In a couple of weeks, one of the signature events of the American Le Mans Series will take place at Road Atlanta, and that is the Petit Le Mans. And this is going to be memorable for many reasons, but one is the Audi team will be back. They did run at Sebring, of course, the 24-hour Le Mans this year, and they are back, and who better to talk about it with Audi coming back to the American Le Mans Series and running at the Petit Le Mans, and one of the co-drivers, Alan McNish. Alan, thanks for joining me, and hey, welcome back to the States here in a few days.
Oh, thank you very much. You know, we really enjoy our racing over in the U.S., and the American Le Mans Series has been, it's actually been fantastic to us as a team, but also to me personally over the last 10 years. I've had some cracking races, some really, really good fun, and I'm sure that Petit Le Mans 2009 is going to be no exception.
Well, the Audis, of course, made the announcement last year that they weren't going to be running in the American Le Mans Series full-time, which disappointed many. But you are back with a vengeance at the Petit Le Mans. And how much of this is driven by the fact that Peugeot, who beat you, how dare they, at the 24-hour Le Mans, is also going to be there, and it's a chance for revenge?
Well, I think you probably hit the nail on the head to some extent. There's two reasons, or actually there's three reasons for this. One of them is that Petit Le Mans now is such a strong race in its own right that I think it sort of takes itself above just being another championship event. And we've got a tremendous run of victories going there. The second thing is that when we're looking at 2010 and developing our car, then we realize that we've got to race, and we've got to race against the best, and we've got to race them at the hardest circuits and the hardest races. And we did that at Sebring 12 hours, we did it at Le Mans 24 hours, and Petit is the next part of that challenge. And then the final part, when I said the strongest competitors and challengers, for us, Acura is going to be a really heavy hitter, but also we are quite keen to make sure that the French with the Peugeot banners there don't cheer too loudly come the night of the 26th.
How tough is it, though, to jump back in without it being, you know, a full-time effort, the American Le Mans Series in the factory Audi R15 TDI, along with Dindo Capelli, to come in and be competitive, or is it fairly easy with the kind of support and crew that you have?
We've got a tremendously experienced crew, and individually and as a team, we've been involved in the American Le Mans Series for quite a long time. However, history doesn't mean to say that you're going to have future success. And we realize that Acura has been racing competitively in the American Le Mans Series, winning all the events since Sebring. And I know that they're going to be hard to beat. There's no question about that. And for us, you know, we've been away from this particular type of racing because it is different. It's very different to anything in Europe in terms of the way the yellows are, the strategy, and just the cut and thrust of the racing is so, I would say, ferocious that, you know, we're going to have to be absolutely on top of our game to be up there at the front at the end of the race. But, you know, as I said right at the beginning, I think our crew and certainly the Audi R15 TDI is proven capable of doing the job, but we've got to get it done on race day itself.
You mentioned about the different rules that are in the American Le Mans Series. Is that a concern, or with your experienced crew, it'll be handled easily?
I think that it's always a concern when you're away from the sharp end of it for a little period of time. But on the other side, I think we have got a good crew. We're very aware that the regulations have actually changed slightly, very subtly, and we've got to make sure that we're completely up to speed with all of that. But, you know, there's two sides to this. So you've got the crew that are actually doing the job, and then you've got the car itself. And I think our Audi, especially with the latest generation diesel, it's producing the horsepower. It produces the fuel economy that I think is ahead of the gasoline engine cars. And with that plus the team back up behind us, I think we have got a very good package. But it's one, like I said, that we're really going to have to stretch to the max to make sure that we win the race outright.
We're talking with Alan McNish, who'll be the co-driver in the Audi R15 TDI at Petit Le Mans coming up in a couple of weeks down at Road Atlanta. Alan, about that facility at Road Atlanta, I know they've upgraded it, and it's now become one of their premier events. I think something like 110,000 people were on hand last year.
Yeah, I'll tell you what, it is fantastic. I competed in the first ever Petit Le Mans in 1998, and to see where they've got to now is just unbelievable. We're going into 2009, they're looking at record crowds again, and the atmosphere is unbelievable there because the crowds are so close to the action, and the Road Atlanta circuit, it twists and winds through the natural valleys and gullies of the topography, and that just creates a beautiful track to drive on, but one that all the fans can really get up close and personal. And for us, it's one of the fastest tracks, but also one of the most physical ones as well, because, you know, we're pulling very, very high G, 3-4G through turns 1 through to 5, and then we've got the big fast back straight, and then the heavy braking for the chicane, never mind diving turn through the last corner, which, you know, is a sharp intake of breath on the first lap and the last lap, just to keep it flat out through there. So, all in all, it creates, I think, one of the best races for someone to go to see, to the point that I've actually suggested to one of my Scottish friends who's he's going to take his holidays with his wife, and they're shipping off to Atlanta to watch the race, because I think he sort of got engulfed by all the enthusiasm I had talking about it.
Alan, you mentioned the first lap. I don't want to bring up bad memories, but did win, finally. But last year, even before the first lap, you spun out. Now, I don't know whether you were doing that on purpose just to thrill the crowds and to say, hey, we can come back from this. But when you start the race a couple of laps down before the green flag, usually that's not a good day. But you guys were able to overcome that.
Yeah, thanks for bringing that up. That was not one of my proudest moments in my career, I've got to be honest with you. When you said about trying to woo the crowds, it certainly didn't woo my boss at Audi, that's for sure. Basically, I made a mistake. It was one of those errors which was complete schoolboy error, and we had to use everything in our little book of tricks to pull us back onto the lead lap. As you said, we started two laps down, and then we had a tooth and nail fight with the Penske Porsches and also the Peugeots up at the front, to the point where I think it was only 4 seconds was the difference between first and second, and then third position overall was another second behind. There's five or six cars on the lead lap. It was really one of the hardest races in my entire career, but I have to say one of the most satisfying once we had actually started the race itself.
Well, with this being a 10-hour, 1,000-mile race, it does give you a chance to overcome problems, doesn't it?
Yes, it does. It gives you a chance to overcome problems, but it also gives you a chance to get into problems. And that's one of the things now, is that it's an endurance race. It's 1,000 miles, but it's a flat-out sprint race. You know, we are doing every lap like a qualifying lap, and any mistake on the track or in the pits, any, you know, sort of little bobble at a tire stop or something like that, or a missed call on a yellow strategy, then, you know, basically that knocks you down a peg and you have them to come from behind. And that, I think, makes it one of it's one of the good parts about the series, the American Le Mans series, but also the competition that's in it, and Petit Le Mans itself, is the fact that everybody's there for one thing and one thing only, and that's to win the race right up at the sharp end. And that's not just in LMP1 as well. You know, we've also got a really good battle in LMP2 going on with the Mazda, the Lola Mazda, and also the Acura. And then in the GT battle, then that's just as ferocious as it is for the outright lead. So, you know, there's races going on within the overall picture race. And with the different categories involved, then to me, it provides some of the most exciting racing, both in the car, but also when watching.
Well, Alan, it definitely is. I watched it on TV last year. I'll probably be watching it again this year. We wish you the best of luck. I've met you in person a couple of times. Unfortunately, we didn't get a chance to have racing in Detroit this year because of the economy, and Roger Penske put together the great facility out of Belle Isle. But I do appreciate you taking time out of your schedule, and good luck when you come back stateside.
Thank you very much, and I have to say thank you to all the fans out there, because I tremendously enjoyed my time at Detroit, and I was very impressed with what Roger had done for the local area and putting the show on, and he's got to really be commended for that. And I think everybody at Audi looks forward to getting back and racing full-time in the U.S., but also coming back to your area up there and competing on the streets of Detroit again.
That's Alan McNish. He'll be co-driving the Audis. They are coming back to do their work in the Petit Le Mans. That's coming up at the end of the month at Road Atlanta, the American Le Mans Series. They want to knock off Peugeot, but it's going to be very, very tough. There's going to be a lot of competition. You've got the Acuras on board. And then, of course, you've got all the GT cars that are out on the racetrack. It's going to be a fun time and a great race, and Alan McNish is one of the best. Next up, we're going to turn our attention to a little bit of sprint car racing, USAC style. From Tony Stewart Racing, we'll talk to Levi Jones, who leads the points, when we return to Pit Pass USA here on the Power Up Motorsports Channel. From IndyCar racing to powerboats, to Formula One and NASCAR, you're listening to PowerUpChannel.com. Your motorsports channel.
In 1977, an 8-year-old boy picked up the game of golf from his father. The odds of that same boy winning the US Open twice? 1 in 1.2 billion. The odds of him having a child diagnosed with autism? 1 in 150. Ernie Else encourages you to learn the signs of autism at autismspeaks.org. Brought to you by Autism Speaks and the Ad Council.
Confessions of a Potentially Perfect Parent, brought to you by AdoptUsKids.org.
Okay, here goes. I know more about cooking dinner for a party of 12 than I do about packing a lunch for a 12-year-old. I know kids like things like PB&J, pigs in a blanket. Oh, and fish sticks. They do love fish sticks. Fillets I get, but sticks? What part of the fish does the stick come from? I know I can read a cookbook that'll tell me how to make a red wine reduction, but where are the cookbooks that can teach me how to cut the crusts off bologna sandwiches? Oh, maybe we can compromise on mac and cheese. Can you make that with brie? Everybody likes brie, right?
You don't have to be perfect to be a perfect parent. There are thousands of teens in foster care who would love to push your food around their plate. Call 1-888-200-4005 or visit AdoptUsKids.org for more information. This message brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, Adopt Us Kids, and the Ad Council.
Every day, the chances of becoming a victim of mercury poisoning increase. Mercury poisoning may cause neurological damage that impairs learning, vision, and memory. And mercury itself has become part of our everyday lives, absorbed by certain fish, taken into our bodies, and passed on to our children like a common cold. But you can stop this. Log on to earthshare.org and find out how. A public service message brought to you by EarthShare and the Ad Council.
Everything Motorsports. See it, breathe it, feel it. PowerUpChannel.com.
You're listening to Pit Pass USA with Larry Henry. To leave comments or suggest future guests for the show, email us at LarryHenry@PitPassUSA.com. That's LarryHenry@PitPassUSA.com. Now back to more of the fastest show in motorsports, Pit Pass USA with Larry Henry.
Hey, it's no secret that one of my loves is USAC racing. It's because I grew up in Indiana. I grew up around USAC. I got to watch it a lot at Salem, up at the State Fairgrounds in Indianapolis, at Terre Haute, down at Twin Cities in Vernon, Indiana. You name it, I used to watch it, a lot of it, the old Silver Crowns, the Sprints, and the Midgets. Well, my next guest, he is involved in the Sprint side of things in USAC. In fact, right now he is leading the points and a two-time champion, driving for Tony Stewart Racing, and that is Levi Jones. Levi, welcome to the program, and congrats on having a great season so far.
Thank you. It's been a pretty good season, and we hope to end it as well as we started it.
Well, you've had a great year so far, but it looks like it may go right down to the wire with the battle you're having with Dave Darlin. You're only 25 points apart as you get set for the big Ford Crown Nationals coming up at Eldora Speedway.
Yeah, it's a little closer than we wanted. Last weekend we raced in Terre Haute and had fast time and led the whole race by a pretty good margin and got a flat tire. So we know we have a fast race car and look forward to going to Eldora.
Eldora, of course, that's your boss's track he owns. They just had the prelude to a dream with all the guys down there running just a few days ago. Does that put a little more pressure on you to win one for the boss, Tony Stewart, when you go to Eldora?
No, there's no more pressure. It's just it's nice to be able to go, you know, to one of the best tracks in the world and put on a good show for the fans and see where we end up at the end of the night.
Levi, for those that don't follow the USAC Sprint Car Series that much, talk a little bit about the cars. These things have incredible power. In fact, it's almost more than a stock car or an Indy car in this little itty-bitty package that's out on a racetrack.
It is. It's hard to explain to anybody. I mean, when I get in the passenger car and someone thinks their car runs really well and they get on the gas, it's hard not to laugh at them, I guess, because I wish everyone could get in a dirt sprint car and just hit the gas once. You know, it's 850 horsepower and 1,175-pound car that, you know, the drive shaft goes straight from the back of the back of the crank to the rear end. So there's nothing extra, and it's all horsepower and tires and wheels.
Well, I've watched the sprints run at various tracks. I know they used to come to Toledo a lot, and now being in the Detroit area, I'd go down there and watch. And it was amazing how quickly, especially on asphalt, that a USAC sprint car could cover a half-mile track. You blinked, and they had already made a lap out on the racetrack. What's it like being inside of a behemoth like that?
I guess the best way to describe it is would be in a car going down the freeway with no windows, the radio turned up as loud as it go, and going 100 miles per hour with cars all around you.
Well, even at that, you run on dirt. Of course, a lot of it's on dirt in the USAC Sprint Series, and that is a whole different thing. You got to find the cushion. You're going in. I always look at it kind of a power slide through the turners. And you're sliding the car through the corners. I mean, how long does it take to be able to know what to do and how to handle something like that?
It's just having a confidence in your race car, that knowing that it's controlled chaos and a controlled slide, and hopefully it stops and goes the other direction.
Well, yeah, you do. And also, we've seen a lot of times, I don't know how many times I've watched either in person or on television, the USAC Sprint Cars and the Midgets. I'll classify them in there too. You're out there racing pretty hard, but the next thing you know, they're going end over end over end over end, I can't think that's a lot of fun, and I'm sure it's probably happened to you more than once.
Oh, it definitely has. I mean, that's just part of the nature of our beast, what we do. You know, your calculations don't always end up how you want it, and our racing accidents like that do happen.
How many races a week do you run? I know a lot of drivers that seem to race almost every night of the week, whether it's, you know, in a USAC sprint race, or maybe it's a demonstration, or it's something that it seems like you're at the racetrack almost every day.
Yeah, I race about 100 times a year, so you take out a couple months of the year where we're not doing much, and then, you know, spread those 100 races out over the course of the other 9 or 10 months where we're not home too often, especially in June, July, and August. You're on the road and living out of a suitcase and hotel rooms about the whole time.
You know, we always look at the NASCAR Sprint Cup Series, 36 races in their compressed schedule. I mean, they're on the road all the time, but when you take a look at what you guys do, it could be three or four different towns within a week, and you'd get done late at night at one racetrack, and you've got to be at the next racetrack the next day. What's that lifestyle like for you?
I've done it for 10 years now, so you kind of forget what a normal life is, really. Car washes aren't really that cool at 2 or 3 o'clock in the morning, but that's where we end up and try to get some sleep and go on to the next place to put on a really exciting show for the fans.
Time with Levi Jones, who runs in USAC, the United States Auto Club. He's a two-time sprint champion and working on number 3 right now, leading the points by 25 over Dave Darling, drives for Tony Stewart Racing. And Levi, what's it like driving for Tony? I mean, this is the background he came from. He cut his teeth on USAC. And still, I think if he had a chance and could do everything he wanted to do, he'd give up running in NASCAR, I think, sometimes just to get back on the dirt and running these things.
It's really the best situation I could be in to have a true racer like Tony own the cars and provide us with everything we need to go and race and have a chance to win every night. I mean, that's what you want as a driver. And also with him, you know, he's been there and done it. He's been to the car washes at 2 o'clock in the morning. He's been in 3 different towns and 3 nights in a row and with not much sleep and been to all the tracks, and you can ask him advice because he's the best race car driver there is.
Well, there's no question. And growing up in Indiana, he's been to a lot of the tracks, Terre Haute, the Indiana State Fairgrounds, Salem, Eldora, of course, just across the way. I mean, he's been to them all. He's raced on them all. He's got that wealth of knowledge. But what I really like about him, and I think that one also endears him to a lot of the fans, is he's never forgotten his roots, which I think is a big, big key for him. I try to stay that way, too. Always remember the small-town racers, the short tracks, and, you know, that's the backbone, and he has never forgotten that and supports it 100%.
No, he hasn't. I mean, you know, he still comes around the shop and, you know, lives in Columbus and you know, still remembers all the people that he got to hang out with and grew up racing, and, you know, he wears jeans and T-shirt and tennis shoes just like we do.
I know Columbus well. I used to live there. That's, in fact, how I got involved in big-time racing, was there, and actually met Chip Ganassi when he was driving for Jack Rhodes, who used to be out of Columbus, Indiana, and sold airplanes, and Chip Ganassi drove for him as a rookie at the Indianapolis Motor Speedway. So that's how I got to know Chip Ganassi well, 20-some years ago.
Facts.
Yeah, some 20-some years ago, that's where I met Chip Ganassi, so I've known Chip for that long, but it's interesting how paths and things kind of circle around one way or another. What do you look for, Levi, in the rest of the season? Is Dave Darling your only competition, or, you know, if you falter, you could get another guy or two in the mix?
Yeah, I mean, you know, Dave and I are definitely locked in a battle now with us, you know, getting a flat tire lead in the race at Terre Haute, but you know, we race all year and we race to win every race. So, you know, that's still our concern is preparing our car as best we can and going there to win the race. You know, Cole Witt's third, which is, you know, I think he's about 100 points back. You know, if Dave and I worry about the points too much, he could definitely pass us both. So I'm going to focus on winning races. That's how I won the first two championships, and no need to change my approach now.
And speaking of Cole Witt, if my memory serves me correctly, I believe his car owner's from Columbus, Indiana.
Yes, he drives for Keith Coons out of Columbus.
Hey, I wish you the best of luck. Eldora's a big one. I'd love to see them get back to the days of the old Thursday night races that ESPN used to have from Raceway Park and the Speedrome, and put some of the USAC races on, because I don't think you guys get enough coverage.
Yeah, it would definitely be nice to be back on TV. You know, I feel like our races are the best package people can come and watch. It's entertaining, and you're on the edge of your seat, and everybody, you know, if we could get everybody to come to one of them, they'd definitely come back again.
No question about that. Levi, again, thanks for taking some time out to talk with me, and best of luck down at Eldora.
Oh, thank you very much.
That's Levi Jones. He drives for Tony Stewart Racing. He is leading the USAC National sprint standings right now, and they're coming to Eldora in just a little over a week for the Four Crowns, and that's always the biggie in USAC, and that should be a great weekend. And thank Levi for talking with me and chatting a little bit about Columbus, Indiana, near and dear to my heart. I worked there for a long time. I got involved in racing there. I got married there. My first daughter was born there. I still got family that live there. That's where Tony Stewart lives now and all that good stuff. Anyway, next up on the program, going to turn my attention to the ARCA RE/MAX Series. Going to talk to a young man that is trying to forge a career there and move on up. That's Rob Brent. We will talk with him when we return to Pit Pass USA with Larry Henry on the Power Up Motorsports Channel.
You are on the inside track of motorsports drivers and teams. PowerUpChannel.com.
The odds of a young girl being discovered by an industry insider while singing to herself pumping gas? 1 in 300 million. The odds of the daughter of a clergyman from Severn, Maryland spending 11 weeks at number one on the U.S. singles charts? 1 in 19 million. The odds of going on to win 6 Grammy Awards? 1 in 1.4 million. The odds of selling over 40 million records? 1 in 800,000. And the odds of this musician and performer having a child diagnosed with autism? 1 in 150. I'm Toni Braxton, and I encourage you to learn the signs of autism at AutismSpeaks.org. Early diagnosis can make a lifetime of difference. Autism Speaks. It's time to listen.
Brought to you by Autism Speaks and the Ad Council.
Get ready for a show that breaks ground on the subject of women in motorsports and what it takes to dream, believe, achieve. Gas and Go with Allie O is all about the movement that is happening lightning fast in women's racing. You'll get a wide array of perspectives from the drivers to the fans, as well as what it takes to be a role model in a male-dominated sport. Join your host, professional driver Allie Owens, for Gas and Go with Allie O, Wednesdays at 8 p.m. Eastern Time, 5 p.m. Pacific, on the Power Up Motorsports Channel.
Hi, I can't come to the phone right now because I'm abusing my children, not just verbally, but physically. I'll get back to you.
If only child abuse was this easy to recognize. If you even suspect abuse, call Child Help at 1-800-4-A-CHILD or visit childhelp.org. We've helped millions of people help millions of children. All calls are anonymous and confidential, so call 1-800-4-A-CHILD or visit childhelp.org. Child Help. Trust your instincts. Brought to you by Child Help and the Ad Council.
Power up with your favorite motorsport. You're listening to PowerUpChannel.com. See it, breathe it, feel it.
You're listening to Pit Pass USA with Larry Henry. To leave comments or suggest future guests for the show, email us at LarryHenry@PitPassUSA.com. That's LarryHenry@PitPassUSA.com. Now back to more of the fastest show in motorsports, Pit Pass USA with Larry Henry.
Everyone talks about NASCAR as being one of the most diverse series in auto racing, of course, running short tracks, the 1 miles, the mile and a half, and the super speedways. Well, how about a series that runs on dirt along with road course and the short and the bigger tracks? That's the ARCA RE/MAX series. And my next guest, well, he is a racer in the ARCA RE/MAX series, a young man that I've gotten to know who lives in the Detroit area, Shelby Township, and that is Rob Brent, who is driving for Justin Allgaier Motorsports. Rob, it's been a long time since I talked to you back in January, but looks like things are going great for you right now.
Yeah, we're having a lot of fun. We got a really intense schedule here, but it's what every racer dreams of doing, racing two times a week, you know, every weekend, and something I've always wanted to do, so I'm just trying to enjoy it.
You're coming off a great fourth-place finish at New Jersey last weekend, New Jersey Motorsports Park. That was the road course I mentioned that ARCA has started running. And, of course, a few days before that, you were on the dirt at DeCoin, and a couple of days before that, you were on the half-mile asphalt at Toledo Speedway. You've been busy.
Yeah, that's an understatement. But we've had a lot of good runs. We were able to, you know, keep the car in one piece and run in the top 10 everywhere. Actually got some great qualifying efforts the last few weeks. Team's been working hard. You kind of have to do everything ahead of time because we don't have time really to go back to the shop all every week. But we've had some really good runs. New Jersey was awesome. I've loved the road courses, and we really took advantage of that in my experience. And you know, if it wasn't for some of those big time ringers like Patrick Long and Spencer Pompelli, I think we might have ran away with it. But we definitely gave him a shot.
You've also had a crew chief change recently with Dave Liner coming on board. That seems to have changed things a little bit for you.
Yeah, we kind of got stuck in a rut the first half of this year. You know, we know we're better, every piece of the puzzle here, and we just couldn't quite put it all together, and we needed something to jumpstart us. A little late in the season, but it's never too late when you got a few races to go. And Dave's come on board, and he's really got things going in the positive direction. And you know, like I said, my best qualifying of the year, third at DeCoin on the dirt. And then we came to New Jersey, qualified sixth, finished fourth. We had some great runs that had a Chicago and Toledo, and are really looking forward to the next few to end the season.
Talking with Rob Brandt here, who's a regular in the ARCA Remax Series on Pit Pass USA. And Rob, I mentioned that you drive for Justin Allgaier Motorsports, and of course, Justin running for Roger Penske in the Nationwide Series. How did that deal come about?
Well, you know, I actually was running with Brad Keselowski's team last year, and we just kind of didn't get things worked out to start the season this year, so I was kind of just sitting on the sidelines. Daytona was coming up pretty quick, and kind of I got that racing bug again, and I wanted to get in that race, so I started calling teams, and, you know, Justin moved up to Nationwide, so that team was kind of available, and talked to Mike Allgaier's dad, the owner, and we kind of put a one-race deal together. We unfortunately didn't make the race, but kind of, you know, we're able to put something together to run the rest of the year, and I've been really happy with joining that team, and I really hope I can come back next year and we can be even stronger.
You mentioned Brad Keselowski. Of course, you and he kind of grew up together here in the Detroit area, got to race go-karts against each other at an indoor facility that we have in the Detroit area. And he gave you really a good chance to do some racing, too, in the NASCAR, what is now the NASCAR Camping World Truck Series.
Oh, yeah, no doubt. I mean, Brad really helped me start into stock cars, and I probably wouldn't be here right now if I never met Brad. And, you know, we had some great runs last year, and we actually did three truck races. We, you know, I learned a lot. I saw how tough it was to race with some of those veterans, but we had some decent runs going, and it's something I really hope to have another chance at in the Truck Series or maybe a Nationwide race in the near future.
Rob, how much does it give you hope that you can get into the big time when you see Brad, who, as I mentioned, you've raced against, you know each other very well, has made it all the way up to the NASCAR Sprint Cup Series, going to be driving for Roger Penske next year. You kind of feel like if he can do it and he's a local kid, I can do it too?
Yeah, there's no doubt. When you see someone like that make it up kind of the right way, you know, per se, just driving, catching people's eye, you know, earning his way all the way up, it's pretty cool to see and gives you hope. You know, it's tough with the economy right now to actually get hired, but, you know, to find sponsors and all that, it's tough, but it's out there. Opportunity's there, and that's what we're all looking for, and I'm just going to keep trying my best and see if we can make some progress.
Well, you are like a lot of young drivers across America. Mom and Dad are doing everything they can to help you out. I know your dad has the sponsorship on board of your race car right now, the Orchard Chrysler Dodge Jeep Dodge Charger that you drive. Your mom handles your PR and sales and everything else. It is a complete family effort.
Oh, no doubt. I mean, I couldn't be doing what I'm doing without the support of my family, and they're really behind me. Appreciate everything they do. We travel together, and, you know, they're just really love being a part of the sport. And, you know, just as a family here, we're just trying to move up through the ranks and You know, right now the dealership is kind of helping us with sponsorship, but we're constantly looking for more help, and hopefully runs like these will catch people's eye and say, you know, take a chance on me, give me one cheap, you know, even if it's for a nationwide road course race or something, that could be something really cool I could do, but we'll see how it goes.
Rob, there's only a few races left here in the 2009 ARCA Remax Series season. Have you got anything already working for next year? Is that still very much up in the air?
Well, you know, I'd really love to return to Justin Allgaier Motorsports, especially since we got a good role going here with Dave as the crew chief. The team really is excited about how we've been performing lately, and I think, you know, if we ran this way all year, there's no doubt we'd be top five in the points, especially if we did Daytona. Right now we're sitting ninth and one race less than everybody. So I'd really hope that we can put something together here and come back strong and just, you know, hit it from the start running.
Well, Rob, we wish you the best of luck. Hope things work out, and good luck at your next stop, which I believe is Salem. That's my neck of the woods. I grew up not too far from Salem racetrack. Been there many, many a times in my younger days, and good luck there, and crossing our fingers something comes your way for 2010.
All right, thanks a lot. Should be a lot of fun.
That's Rob Brandon. To show you how crazy it's scheduled again, last week, let's see, they raced on Friday night in Toledo. On Sunday, they ran on the dirt in DeCoin. Then they were in New Jersey this weekend on Sunday running on the road course. They had a flight back home. Unfortunately, got delayed. They got back to the Detroit area at about 2 o'clock in the morning. He has college classes on Monday and Wednesday. He got back to college, which is at Northwood Institute, and had his classes that day. And then he's off to Salem Speedway this week. You got to love it. I mean, here's a kid. He's living the dream. He's trying to move up in the ranks and trying to make a name for himself, finding the sponsorship. And how many guys and gals across America do the same thing? There's thousands of them. They all have that dream, and they make that sacrifice. Their family makes that sacrifice week in, week out. And there's some great stories out there and great people. And as I always say, support your local racetrack. They are the heart and soul of American racing. I also like for you to support Pit Pass USA. I'd like to hear from you first. You can drop me an email at LarryHenry@PitPassUSA.com. LarryHenry@PitPassUSA.com. Do you have some guests in mind? Do you want to hear different types of segments on the show? Whatever. This show is more for you. I don't focus just on NASCAR or IndyCar or whatever. I try to make it a potpourri of racing across America and even around the world. And I'd like to hear from you and see what's on your mind. LarryHenry@PitPassUSA.com. Also, you can check out the Facebook fan page, Pit Pass USA with Larry Henry. If you're on Facebook, you can find me there. I always post who the guests are coming up on the show. And we're going to start some discussions and things. We're still working on that just a little bit, but love to see you there. Of course, you can also listen to the show in our archives at my host page up at the Power Up channel. You can subscribe to the show at iTunes. We make it very easy for you there. Also, you can check out my blog, which is exhaustfumes.wordpress.com. I haven't written yet. I got a little behind. I got tied up in a church project, believe it or not. I've been doing cabinets and plumbing, which is really interesting. But that's the blog that we usually have, and something written on that. And hopefully that is interesting, too. So lots of ways for you to contact me, but I definitely would love to hear from you in an email or drop a comment or join us on the Facebook fan page to keep in touch. Got a lot of great things coming up down the road. Lots of racing this weekend with NASCAR up in New England. I think it's going to be a very interesting start to the chase. IndyCars, they're in Motegi, Japan. Beautiful race facility. I've been there several times. It's in the middle of nowhere, north of Tokyo, but it is a great facility that Honda built, and the IndyCars are there with their great points battle going on. ARCA Remax Series, as you heard, they're going to be down in Salem, Indiana, which is just north of Louisville, Kentucky. And so lots of things going on. Hopefully, again, you will take it a race this weekend. Go to your local track. Support them. These people, they need you to come to the racetracks and keep local racing alive in America. They are struggling. If NASCAR is struggling and the IRL is struggling, the little tracks, they're hurting. Go support them in your neighborhood and shake hands with some of the drivers, get to know them, and say, hey, I'm here to support what I love, and that is racing. Again, thanks to all our guests tonight, Lee Spencer, Alan McNish, Levi Jones, Rob Brett, and especially thanks to you for listening. Tell your friends, tell your neighbors, tell even people you don't like about the show. Have them tune in next week, Tuesday night, 8 p.m. Eastern Time, here up on the Power Up Motorsports Channel for Pit Pass USA with Larry Henry. We will see you next Tuesday night. Be safe and go racing this weekend.
We'll do it for this week. Time to get ready for another great week of racing to talk about next time on Pit Pass. Tune in next Tuesday at 8 p.m. Eastern, 5 p.m. Pacific, for another fast-paced 200-mile-per-hour edition of Pit Pass USA with Larry Henry on Power Up, your motorsports channel.
From IndyCar Racing to PowerBooks, to Formula One and NASCAR, you're listening to PowerUpChannel.com, your motorsports channel.